Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. In this podcast, we have the opportunity to interview one of the greatest personal injury attorneys that you'll find in America. And I say that with great passion because I have the opportunity to spend time with John Torgensen. And John is an individual who really cares deeply about those he represents. And John, it's great to be with you today.
Yeah, you too, Chad. Thanks so much for having me on today. It's always good to see you, man. And that's too kind of an introduction. Thank you.
Well, John, the reality is this. You have the, when people think of personal injury attorneys, they often think of a less than appealing type individual who only cares about money. They're just trying to sue whoever so they can get as much money as possible. And you've really flipped the script on that. So, John, let me ask you this, because, John, you are so passionate and driven to help people, especially those who don't have a voice. Where does that come from? Like, why did you, because money to you is fine, it's you need it, but that's not what drives you. So what in your background caused you to just want to help people as you do as a personal injury attorney?
Yeah, you know, I think of our career as personal injury attorneys and at Torgensen Law, we have a tagline, it's personal, because every single case is personal to me and the firm. When you come to my firm, you're going to get my cell phone number. You're going to talk to attorneys. I just got off a 2-hour Zoom with some clients that we're getting ready to write a demand for. We want to hear their human story. How has this affected you and your family? Okay. And where it comes from for me, Kirby, is I don't know, man. I've faced discrimination in my life. I have felt powerless in my life. And I want to be able to right wrongs where I see them. And like you say, man, if the money comes, great. But if I can get closure for people or just help people get through a tough time, that's what drives me, is just trying to make sure that people are heard. I look at our career as a vocation where we get to help some of the most vulnerable people in the world or in the country, in Arizona and other states. They can come to us with these issues. And I say, hey, you take all those problems and that pain and that fear, and you throw them right here on these shoulders, and we're going to get through this together because I care about you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Now I want to unpack what you said there just a little bit further, because you were raised, so you grew up, and your dad was a state employee or a city worker, which it's not, he worked for the power company.
Yeah. My dad, 43 years with it was Utah Power and Light. It got transferred a couple times, but proud union lineman, man. He was a journeyman lineman, and he raised his family, myself, my big brother, my little sister, and my mom, just a really tight family growing up in St. George, Utah. So yeah, we were down in the Dixie district of the Utah Power and Light division. So I was always so proud of my dad and what he built for us and our family. And I loved it, man, when the beeper would go off. And nowadays, hey, I know it's probably liability issues, but he'd throw us in the bucket truck with him and take us out to the Colorado Strip. And we'd help him out. We'd go up and like shine up the flashlight while he's fixing the fuse. Because my dad loved to help people too, man. When your power's out, the person you want to see most is Fernando coming in the door and making sure that your power's going to come back on. So yeah, I grew up in St. George, Utah. My dad was a blue collar, 43-year journeyman lineman.
And then, okay, so your dad's this journeyman lineman, and he's a hardworking individual, but then you end up graduating from Notre Dame Law School, one of the most prestigious law schools in America. So what made you decide, listen, because a lot of people, you have taken your circumstances and you said, okay, I'm gonna learn everything I can from my circumstances, and I'm going to be the best version of John Torgensen. A lot of people would sit back and say, oh, you know what? My dad was, you know, he was just a laborer. I'm going to do this or whatever. But you never slip into that victim mentality. And you go, you know what? I want to go to law school. And not only do I want to go to law school, I think I want to graduate from the most prestigious law school in America. So what was the thought process behind that?
Man, for me, it truly just starts off as a Catholic kid growing up in Southern Utah. And so, you know, the days that I could.
Yeah, right. Stop there, right there. Because you say you're from Utah, everyone's like, oh, you have to be LDS, right?
No, and some of my best friends are LDS, man. You know, but yeah, man. And so we used to have a t-shirt at the St. George Catholic Church, and it said, I am a rare bird. And on the back, it had this funny looking bird, and it said, a Utah Catholic, right? And so, you know, we were the Catholic Mexican family. And so we did face some experiences, some prejudices and things like that. And my best friends, I wrote them letters on their missions. They continue to be my best friends. But, you know, when you're younger and you're in such a homogeneous society like that, it kind of naturally happens where you feel like an outsider, or you are made to feel like an outsider, you know. And so there's zero ill will, but it's like coming from Utah, I'll tell you this, Kerb, when Notre Dame would beat BYU on the weekend, I could hold my head up proud on a Monday when I went up there, man. And one of my best friends, Kyle Graff, his uncle or grandfather, I can't remember, well, he used to be the trainer for BYU football. So you tell me, in 1993, I believe it was, or 92, when I got to go up, and me, my dad, his dad, and Kyle, we went up to Cougar Stadium. And we watched Lou Holtz march the Fighting Irish out on the field. Rudy is just coming out. And so you tell me that I don't think there. And I'm like, I was like, whoa, there's this many Catholics in the world? You know, and I'm looking at a field of these Notre Dame guys out there. And so, and it truly made me feel like, hey, man, John, you're not so bad or different. And so for me, it was like truly my dream school. And my big brother, much smarter than me, and I'm not just saying that, he is a general surgeon up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He is much smarter than me. So undergrad, he gets into Dartmouth, he gets into Notre Dame, he got into some excellent schools. But frankly, you know, being from a blue collar family, my parents were awesome, but you know, we didn't maybe know the intricacies of how to get scholarships and FAFSA and all this stuff. So it was like, well, Marcus, you're going to go to the University of Utah because you got the scholarships and it's not going to cost anything. So I knew I was always going to go start off undergrad at University of Utah. And so that's, I only applied to the University of Utah. But I'll tell you, I was that nerdy freshman going to the law school fairs, and I'd hang out at the Notre Dame booth, and they were like, bro, you got 4 years. You got to figure out what you want to do. But I knew when I got out of high school, and I knew when I got there that I wanted to not only be a lawyer, but I wanted to be a Notre Dame lawyer. And so then I go and do that, work hard, you know, and with the support of my parents, my family, worked very hard. My grandparents worked so hard to know, and my whole vision was just focused on if I could get into that school, because it was my dream school. And anyway, ended up lucky enough to do okay. And I went early admission. I said, hey, if I get in Notre Dame early admission, which is tough, then I don't have to worry about all these other law school applications. Well, I'm home for Thanksgiving break, and I thought all my addresses would come back to my dorm up in Salt Lake City. Randomly, this letter comes from Notre Dame, and I'm home at Thanksgiving break of my senior year, and it's my admission to Notre Dame. And man, I'm a little bit teared up just thinking about it. It was one of the two times I've seen my dad cry. And it was like we were just like as a family celebrating this milestone of something that you've always wanted to do, you know, and to get out there then and then see the values. It's again, I think that's why we are the firm that we are, because Notre Dame instills. I mean, you start the certain classes with the Our Father, and you have a church in every dorm. And you just, I think that the basis of my law school education was a vocation. We're here to help human beings. And a lot of, you know, you can go corporate side, you can come and represent real human beings like I do. But I think that, like, man, I don't know. I'm just sorry I went off on that. But that was just, it's good to kind of look back on, Kerb, because I sometimes get lost every day to day trying to, you know, make sure that the firm is successful and that my employees are successful. And I look back and say, man, that was a road, and I'm glad I took it.
Well, and John, you sit back and you think to yourself, you know what? I believed in myself enough to climb this hill that sometimes seemed just massive in front of you. And that makes a lot of sense because that's how you approach helping other people. They sometimes stare at the bottom of that mountain and it looks massive. And you're like, listen, I was a Catholic boy from St. George, Utah, and I got into Notre Dame. I promise you, I can help you through this very, very difficult time. And that's what absolutely fuels you. You know, and I'm wearing actually my favorite Torgensen polo here with the Mighty Irish logo at the bottom here. But the reality is, John, it's a reminder to people that even on their darkest day, there are brighter days ahead.
100%. There ain't no hill for a climber, right? And so that's how I approach this. When we're fighting these billion-dollar insurance companies and corporations, do not get it twisted. Arizona Cardinals in the great city of Phoenix, it is not Torgensen Law Stadium where the Cardinals play. We all know that it's an insurance company that has the money to do that, and then they're trying to give my clients a hard time. Why? We won't stand for it, man. Like, you need to be there to protect people. That is what your advertisements say. And you need to do what is right in this situation. And when you come into Torgensen Law and you come to my firm, these people are broken. They're stressed. They might be facing eviction. I mean, we have those cases where it's like, truly, some people walk such a fine line that they get sidetracked and can't work for a couple weeks. It means homelessness. So then we help you pick up the pieces, and I promise you, I stare them in the eye and say, we're going to get through this together. And that's what drives me truly, man, when I get to help people rebuild their lives and make their lives better because of an interaction with me or somebody at my law firm that has my last name behind them. That is my life's work. And it makes me very, very happy and fulfilled that we get to do that.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? It's clear it's what fuels you, John. You see how passionate you are about helping people that are truly in need. But keep in mind this, and I want everyone to hear this. Not every attorney is created equal, right? There are attorneys that are only out for themselves. They are. And unfortunately, it gives other attorneys really a bad name. But John, you've chosen to help people that really need help in Arizona. You know, it's a pretty competitive market. So why did you choose to be in Arizona when you have a lot of other firms with shady attorneys that aren't that are more motivated by money than helping other people? Why is it that you're like, you know what? I'm going to hang my shingle here and I'm going to help a lot of people. And by the way, you've broken all sorts of records in the people that you've helped and served. But Phoenix is, Arizona's a competitive place.
Yes, no, and it absolutely is. And I will never run from the fact of the shark pool that we've decided to play in. Right. There are plenty of attorneys out there who do not have their clients' interests at heart. They decide to throw their face up on a billboard. They've never been in a courtroom. They've never been to a client's house after a wrongful death, trying to help pack up the belongings of this woman's son. They've never been in the mix, all right? And so for me, yeah, okay, maybe I don't have the tens of millions of dollars that it takes to have these big ad campaigns that some of these firms have. But I'll tell you this, we have the heart. And I truly believe if you care, and you have the heart and it's in the right place. My mom and dad taught me that you're going to go places if that happens. And so for me, Phoenix, it has become more and more competitive. We have out-of-state money coming in, owning law firms. You don't have to be a lawyer to own a law firm anymore. Well, you're going to come to my firm and it's Torgensen Law and I'll be sitting right here waiting to help you. I'll be side by side with you and sitting with you as the insurance company lawyer is trying to uncover the past 10 years of your medical records, trying to embarrass you. I will be here and I will not let that happen. And so for me, I mean, hey, bring it on. Again, I've been an underdog a lot of my life, Curb. And so for me, I relish that. And I'll tell you, I think some of the biggest compliments, and do not get me wrong, there that when you're a personal injury lawyer, for the most part, most of the circles that I run in, you're a good person. You put your money where your mouth is, literally, and you're not being successful unless you're being successful for human beings. I despise those ones out there that are not. And I will tell them to their face, I'm not going to run from that ever, that I'm sick of you giving us a bad name and you need to turn it around, because I'm never going to apologize for being a personal injury lawyer. Because what a personal injury lawyer means at Torgerson Law is not what it means at these big out-of-state money, hedge fund owned billboard law firms. I will never run from that. And you want to put me against a big bully like that? Punch him in the mouth, just like you'll do it to a big insurance company, Curb. We have to be sure to make sure that we get in front of as many people that we can, because I know what real legal representation looks like, because that's what we offer at Torgerson Law.
And John, such an example of when your why is big enough, and that's your why is so crystal clear and so large that you want to help those who don't have a voice. You want to help people on their darkest day. I mean, that's what drives you, and it's clear for everyone to see that. But how do you avoid the victim mentality? You've never fallen into that, John. Like, here you are from St. George, Utah, Catholic, growing up in St. George, Utah. You know, you didn't have the money that a lot of, I promise you, you sat next to people in law school whose families had deep pockets, right? And you're sitting there going, yeah, my dad works for the power company. And they probably looked at you and like, hey, how'd you get here? But your why has driven you to never fall into that victim mentality. How do you avoid that? Because you could easily say, oh, these attorneys are outspending me, or, oh, it's just so hard to be successful here. But you won't allow yourself to do that. Is it because you keep getting fueled by your why? What is it?
I think it's because the fuel, since I was a little kid, nothing has been easy. Literally, nothing has been easy. And so, like, you tell me that, truly, that question to me, I'm kind of like, okay, I get where you're coming from, Chad, absolutely. But, like, I've never been a victim. I never will be a victim, because I think we make our own circumstances. And I think that if I can outwork you, which there are enough hours in the day to do, and nights, then that's what you do in order to make sure that why is fulfilled for the law firm, for my employees, and for my clients. And to be clear, and I know you're not being offensive at all, like, I had huge supportive parents who told me, John, you have worth, when I was maybe not being told that outside of the home. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I can kind of bring that to my clients when they're getting beat down by these billion-dollar companies trying to tell them, oh, you're faking it, this is this lawsuit lottery, all this type of stuff. You know, these are human beings who happen to get hurt, and we're 100% dedicated to helping good people who are hurt. That's what we do. And so for me, I'll just never fall into it, because I'm a strong believer, Chad, that you make your own circumstances. And of course, man, I've been knocked down more times than I can count. You get up, you dust yourself off, and you keep fighting. And that's what I tell my clients to do, my employees to do, and this is what we do as a firm. And so we will never fall into that victim mindset. What I'll do is, hey, I'll work harder. I'm gonna give more passion and more of myself to my clients, because I know that they've never met that face on that billboard. And so how many times have I been told, man, I would have never guessed you were an attorney. That's a compliment, man. And I do hear that a lot, you know. And that's true. I would never brag or anything, but I'm saying, when you're looking at the legal landscape here in Arizona, and I watch TV just like anybody else, and I drive down the I-17 and the I-10 and every I and interstate road in Phoenix, and I see the hundreds of billboards, that's my competition. And I know for a fact that they come to my firm, we're going to give them better service. They're going to actually talk to lawyers, and we're going to get through this together. And I mean, and a testament to that is our reviews, the clients who have sent me gifts, thank you cards, a phone call, things like that, man. I mean, at my firm, my dad, you know, he's a woodworker. And so you got a Fernando Torgerson stabbed cutting board. We send that to our clients after 60 days with the firm, just showing them, like, hey, we really appreciate you trusting us with this part of your life, because we know how important it is, and we're going to take care of you in every step along the way.
I love that. You actually send a cutting board from that your dad makes. Your dad makes each one of them?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's up there in St. George, Utah, working probably right now in the heat. He's up there, and these are beautiful cutting boards, curved, just handcrafted. And then I think it does say handcrafted. He got one of those brands, handcrafted by Fernando Torgensen. So each client receives a personal letter from me and a cutting board made by my dad, just to say, thank you for trusting us. We know that you have all these billboard firms and these bus stop firms and everybody else to choose from. And I just want to say thank you, because it matters to me, man, because I have a team of people who I love, and you're allowing us to put food on our table. And we're going to commit to you that we're going to work tirelessly and relentlessly and tenaciously to make sure that you are doing well at the end of this case.
But John, you're a cutting edge law firm. I mean, you use cutting edge technology. You use all the resources and technology to be the absolute best. But my question is, how have you never lost the human touch, even when you're using technologies? Because a lot of people think that, oh, the whole world's going to be AI, the whole world's going to, but you've been able to maintain that. Even while you're leveraging AI, while you're leveraging technology and so forth, how is it just a fierce commitment you have to the human touch?
I guess you could say it that way. I don't know how to act any other way. It truly is foreign to me when I talk to clients who fire other law firms and they come to us and they're like, wait, you're John Torgensen. Wait, I've never talked to a lawyer. Like, what, you've been with this billboard firm for 8 months. What do you mean you haven't talked to a lawyer? You know, those types of things. And so for me, it's just the way that I am built. And, you know, I had a very respected lawyer who I work with, I refer cases to. He's a personal injury lawyer. And he was talking to a very well-respected defense lawyer who I actually really like, who I go to mediations for. I've been in trial against him, etc. And this lawyer says to me, hey, John, I just wanted to check in on you because I know we refer you cases. You're a buddy of mine. And I asked this other defense lawyer, I said, hey, what do you think of John Torgensen? And the defense lawyer was like, he's tenacious. And I'm like, that's all he said? I'll take that every day of the week, man. And so he didn't say I was a jerk or unreasonable or anything else. He just said I'm tenacious. So when another lawyer lines up against Torgensen Law, they're going to know we're going to be tenacious and fair and reasonable, but we're going to absolutely not stop until our clients are helped. And so, and you'd asked about how do we maintain that while working in this world of AI and systems that we have to use and expanding the firm and accountability and visibility within the firm, all these types of things. I think that it all comes down to we still keep these core commitments of trust, loyalty, and commitment. It's on the window at our office down in Phoenix. You've seen it down there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where we have a team come together and hey, if AI is what they say it is, and the platform that we use is helpful, but never would I push a button and then send that letter out. We then get that and we craft it and we tell the story of the client the way we've always done. Absolutely. Does it make us more efficient? Yeah, yes. But does it kind of diminish any of the heart and soul that we put into anything? Absolutely not. It just enhances it because it makes us more efficient in order to help more people. And that's what I love about it.
Oh, I love that, John. And you've had the ability, John, to surround yourself with exceptional people who share your why. How important have the people that you've chosen to associate with closely impacted what you're doing?
They are everything. My team is everything. I have my director of first impressions has been with me for 11 years. I have my office manager who's been with me for 10 years.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, no, man.
To have people that long stay with you.
Yes, and I am severely loyal to them, and I feel the same way coming back towards me. I have my head pre-litigation attorney who's now, I think, in year six. He started in law school, and then he's been here in year six. I just and then also hired an attorney last year, and then we hired a new attorney who's just different. I love her. She's been helping me on these high-value advanced litigation team cases, and we're just rocking it. We're really doing well, and so that. And then in addition to that, the case managers, the lien resolution specialists, medical records collections people, we have a team of people. We have a client concierge, Kirby. And so what we have is what she does is, you know, we get a new client in, they're having a tough time, and it's not as much as this, but it's just, hey, throw them $100 Uber Eats card, please. I want to make sure that they have some meals while they're healing up. Hey, can you send some flowers to that person? Or a client has an overarching issue, and that they'll do that. Or she's in charge of, I think yesterday, or I know yesterday was our third backpack drive with the YMCA this year. So we were able to give out 500 backpacks. I was on the news down here in Phoenix and just helping the community. So you talk about, I'll go on forever about my team. Because you cannot build what we have built and are continuing to build without a solid foundation of excellent, good people who have the same mission as me. And they know it. Like, you're going to communicate with our clients, and you have to care deeply about these people. And if you're not, if you don't do that, you don't fit in here. That's fine too. There's other people that maybe want to go work for a billboard firm, and you push a button and it generates a letter, and that's how you want to run your practice. But not us. We get in the mix, and we make sure we're side by side with these people in the fight with them, protecting them.
I love that, John. I love that. And you, the way that you approach everything, and I love spending time with you. I love spending time with your team. Because of what fuels you, and it when I spend time with you and your team, I'm energized because of what you're all about, and it's phenomenal.
Thank you, Kurt. That means a lot coming from you, and you have honestly energized my firm and energized me to a level that I've never felt. These systems that you have brought in, the visibility, which we were lacking, man. I mean, to have you on my team, Kirby, has been something that is changing the course of my law firm and my life. And I'll never be able to thank you enough. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, it has been so amazing to see somebody who understands the passion that we have. You know what I mean? And who brings even more passion to my heart. You energize me, man. I want to run through a wall after some of our meetings, Kirby. And I truly appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. And it's exciting to see when you do the right thing, how the opportunities open up before you, and you do the right thing. And I just want to wrap up with this quote that many of us have heard before, where it says, you can have anything in this world you want if you help enough people get what they want. And that's really what you do, John. You help people on their darkest day get what they truly want and deserve. And I love it. John, I could talk to you all day. The content and experiences you shared were phenomenal. I love it. And I appreciate you spending some time with us today, John.
No, I appreciate you, Chad, and thanks for having me on. And yeah, anything else you need, I'm always here, man. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Take care. Thanks, John. Bye now.
Of course. Take care.